Blog Talk Radio. Whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell it for yourself.
If you can't stand to be talked about, sometimes, if you feel you should always be up and never die. Well, I came on over on Grand River tonight to let you know, no crumb, sure ain't gonna get no crumb.
Mm-hmm. Hello. I'll go before them. I'll see this light trigger. Might be too far up.
Come on,
then why did they say that? See, they didn't want it again. That was my hand. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Let's see. Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Sister Denise. I would say that I am being put on the spot, but the Word of God says, He says, be ye ready. So we have to be ready in and out of season. So I am on the road, but out of obedience, I will pull over and speak what thus says the Lord and what's in my spirit to speak. So if you guys will just give me just a moment or two so that I can pull over, I will share something with you, something that God has given me and something that I struggle with. And hopefully it will bless you as it has blessed me. So just give me just a few minutes and I will be able to pull over. Give you the word of God. Amen. I hope everybody's blessed today because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're supposed to be rejoicing in it and being glad. And I, you know, the Bible says rejoice. He says rejoice. I say rejoice. I say in the Lord. So we have to ask God to give us a spirit of gratitude so that rejoicing is something that we won't have any problem doing. When we open up our mouth, it will be a sound of rejoicing. When we speak to others, it'll be a sound of rejoicing. When we say anything, you will hear the joy of the Lord. So, in saying that, I am blessed beyond measure to be speaking. As a matter of fact, I didn't know I was going to be speaking. I'm on the road with my sister. We went to visit a mighty woman of God in North Carolina, and I was truly blessed. I tell you, God blessed me. I tell you, sometimes when you think you're going to bless somebody, you end up being the blessed one. So to God be the glory. I will share with you a word that I have gone to the Lord about myself. And that word is self-condemnation. Now, you know, many of us, we struggle with, you know, self-condemnation. And condemnation, it can be a product of mental health issues. It can be, you know, contributed to factors toward your development. Either way, it's challenging. Well, however it comes upon you. But, you know, self-condemnation is not a dissociated habit. It stems from It can come from poor self-image. It can come from low self-esteem. It can come from guilt. It can come from childhood labels, from parents speaking into our lives, telling us what we're not going to be, people saying that we're not going to be this, people speaking any negative seeds of condemnation in our lives. You know, it can come from critical parenting. It can come from a number of sources, hallelujah. But what I have found out is that exploring the roots of your self-condemnation is what's most important. So with me, I had to go to God and I had to ask Him, where did this come from? Where's the root? I need to know where the root is because I need to pluck this from the root, because the Bible tells us there is no self-condemnation. There is no condemnation. So what I have realized is that it is a voice from our, you could say subconscious mind, because what I realize is that your subconscious mind is really the enemy to your conscious mind. So your subconscious mind retrieves everything that has happened, everything traumatic, everything that has been hurtful, all the trauma, all the pain. Your subconscious mind holds all of this, and then every now and then it tries to peek its head out. And so we have to cast down those thoughts and cast down those imaginations. So I have realized that even in my upbringing, there have been times when people have said things, you know, you're stupid, you're never going to be anything, you're never going to have anything, you know, you're sinful, you're unworthy, you'll never be forgiven for this, you're unlovable, you're a failure. These are just things, seeds that have been planted and they have taken root and they've all led to self-condemnation. But I'm here to tell you today, sometimes we mistake the voice of we mistake self-condemnation for the voice of conscience, like I said earlier, and it's sometimes it prompts us to confess our failings, to think about what we didn't do right and what we don't have right. But God doesn't look at our shortcomings, and He doesn't look at our failures, because He loves us just the way we are, and He meets us just where we are. So any assumptions about condemnation or things that people are spoken to you like, they're mistaken. In fact, they stand in the face of the cross of Jesus and His grace, because we're all under mercy and we're all under grace. So in order to maintain self-condemnation for to bring it up under subjection, we have to continue to read the Word of God. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to hear the voice of God and feed our inner man with the Word of God, because the Word of God cleanses us. The Word of God redeems us. The Word of God reassures you that you are someone in Christ, that you are a conqueror, that you are an overcomer, that every negative word that's been spoken over your life, it can be exposed, it can be plucked, it can be condemned, and it can be sent back to the pits of hell. And we have to believe who we are. We have to believe who God has created us. So, in other words, we have to hear the voice of God concerning our life. And we have to ask God to pluck all those negative seeds of condemnation. And sometimes it's not really the condemnation that somebody else speaks, but it's the condemnation that you speak over yourself. Self-condemnation. That was my biggest thing. I was my worst nightmare. I beat me up worse than anybody else could beat me up. But I had to learn that God loved me and allow Him to love me in the process of my shortcomings. Because once God fulfills you and fills you up with His love, then those voids and those places that we look for man to fulfill has been filled through the love of Christ. You know, there's a story in John chapter 8 where a woman is being judged, having been caught in adultery, and Jesus challenges the judges with their own shortcomings. Then He asks the woman, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "So go now and leave your life of sin." And in the story, Jesus doesn't let sin off the hook, something many self-condemners are worried about. Instead, He deals with the sin and condemnation separately. He dealt with our sins at the cross when He took our sin upon Himself and He died. So in Romans 8:1, it says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sin, sinful man, to be a sin offering. Think about that. Jesus removed our sin, and the Bible says that there is now no condemnation, hallelujah, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus dealt with the woman with real compassion, and that's how we should deal with others and ourselves. He refuses to condemn her with still challenging her lifestyle, because He said, "Go and sin no more." But we all need to refuse to condemn ourselves, because Jesus has said that there is no condemnation for us. And at the same time, we need to challenge our behavior to be more like Him and ask God, Lord, to empty you so that you can become more like Him. Less of you and more of Him. That's what I say every day. Less of you, Lord, and less of me, Lord, and more of you. Less of me and more of you. I'm asking God to help me to die to my will, because if my will is gone, then His will be done. So if I would say anything to anybody today, I would just ask you, try to choose to say gentle and loving things to yourself today. Tell yourself you love yourself. Tell yourself that you are overcomer. Tell yourself that you have greatness inside of yourself. Tell yourself that there's nothing that God will withhold from you. Tell yourself that God loves me. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. I am just the way that God created me. And, Lord, I am accessible to you. Use me. Lord, I'm a precious jewel. I'm your child. Lord, I am forgiven. Lord, I love you and have peace and know that He will never leave you or forsake you. So you can do what I do. I get in the mirror and I have a day of affirmation. And I do, the day of affirmations help me say goodbye to condemnation. Because if I'm doing affirmations, then I don't have time to condemn myself. So I get in the mirror and I tell myself, you are a woman of God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And I tell myself, I love you. I love you. Because what I realize is that even out of all the self-condemnation, it was because I didn't love myself. And I didn't know how to love anybody else. Because if you don't love yourself, how can you love someone else? And the Bible tells us that love is the most important thing of all. He said that charity is the most important. Now, we can have everything else, but if we don't have love, hallelujah, we have nothing. How do I say? We have nothing. Encourage you today, you know, encourage you to get in the Word. Not only get in the Word, but get in the mirror and speak those affirmations. There's so many affirmations in the Bible. There's so many things that you can say, read in the Bible just to reassure yourself and build up your spirit, man, so that you can speak life to yourself. Speak life to yourself and just speak life to others. So be encouraged and just know that God loves you. I love you. And know that you don't have to walk in condemnation. You don't have to walk in condemnation. You can go to the Father and ask Him to help you to walk in love and to walk in honor and integrity. So that's what I have to say today. I hope it helped you. No condemnation. Stop self-condemning yourself. Get in the Word of God and speak what the Word of God says concerning you. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I know it wasn't long, but that's just what was in my spirit, something that I know that I have to, because I'm the first partaker of anything that I share, and it's something that I have been dealing with myself. And God has just, He has just loved on me, and not only loved on me, but He has just assured me that I am all that He has called me to be. And I don't have to condemn myself, nor do I have to allow anybody else to condemn me. Amen. So be encouraged and just know that God loves you. Amen. So I'll turn this back over to Minister Sophie.
Okay, let's try one more time. Can everyone hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay. We apologize. Apparently, there is technical difficulty with the microphone, or with Blog Talk Radio's microphone, and apparently they can only hear me through the phone. So if I'm going to re-listen to the show, and I apologize to everyone. At least you got to hear good music. But thank you, Minister Denise, Pastor Prophetess Denise, going to call her what she is, and for being on the show and for stepping in. And for helping us out today, we greatly appreciate it. At this time, I'm going to ask you briefly before we go to share your testimony and to pray with everyone.
I'll be right here because I am back on the road, but I am going to just, I'm going to try to much as fast.
Or your passenger can testify too.
Huh?
I said your passenger can testify too.
You said I'm passing what, Sissy?
The person in the passenger seat can testify too if you're driving.
Okay. Well, maybe she want to testify. Do you want to testify? She doesn't want to, so I'll just, you know, I'm just so grateful to God for what He's done in my life, because I can remember when I was just in a very dark place, and I was always raised up in the Lord and raised up in church, and I was just so obedient as a child, and I didn't want to do anything to disappoint God. I just could remember that I was just at that point, well, Lord, I don't want to do anything to disappoint you, and I was just so careful with what I did, and I was just so obedient. Anything that somebody asked me to do concerning the Lord, I was available. I made myself very available. And I can remember my mother always saying, you know, you're so beautiful and God loves you. But I also remember struggling with self-love. And I can remember there were times when I would go to God and I would say, Lord, I feel like nobody loves me. And I mean, I grew up around plenty of love because my grandmother raised me, but I didn't have my mom and I didn't have my father. And my grandmother was my mother, my father's mother. And I could always remember that I would always hear what I wasn't supposed to hear. And that means that even when the other kids, when the grown people tell me, y'all get in the room and close the door, and they start playing with their toys, I always had my ear to the door because I wanted to hear what was being said. So, in other words, I was really nosy. But I can remember seeing things that I know I wasn't supposed to see. And even in the midst of seeing that, I can remember the last time I saw my mother before she left. And I was 5 years old. And I remember the fight that my mom and my father had. And I remember seeing my mom bleed profusely out of the head, you know, and I remember shouting and asking my father not to hurt her. And I also remember her leaving in the ambulance. And then I didn't see her anymore. But I remember the next day, hallelujah, that I heard my grandmother saying, you know, I'm going to send her home because I don't want him to kill her. And, you know, as a child, you hear things like that. You don't quite understand them. But I realized that it was a seed that was planted, not intentionally, but all because I was nosy. And I probably shouldn't have heard that, but because I did, it caused other things to stem and other things to actually operate in my adult life. Well, my grandmother was a loving woman of God, and I always saw her pray, and she just loved everybody, and I knew she loved me too. But at the same time, I was missing something. There was a void. I heard her say that, you know, months later that my mom had a nervous breakdown. And I remember thinking, well, Lord, she's not coming back. Because even though the day that she left, I always had this vision that she was going to come back. Just like every child, or if their mother and their father leaves them. You know, somewhere on the inside, they know that they're always going to come back for them. And so as the years passed, I would hear my grandmother saying things, and then I heard her say, well, I want to get custody of them because she's not going to be able to take care of them. And I remember just, you know, always wanting her, but her never being there. Not only that, but even my father wasn't there. But I realized after I became an adult, as I said, I was always in the ministry, always obedient to the voice of God. And then I met my kid's father. And it was like one day I was saved, and the next day I was in the world. I mean, just that easy. And you would have thought that as much as I love God and love being used by God, that it wouldn't have been that easy, but it was just that easy. One day I was submerged in the Father, and the next day I was in the world. And all the time while I was in the world, it seemed like I got pulled deeper and deeper and deeper into the world and farther and farther away from God. So in my journey of drugs and lying and cheating and drinking and stealing, hallelujah, it was just a chain reaction of worldly things. And I remember as I got high, every night that I would get high and I would not come down, but in the process of trying to come down, I would beg and ask God not to kill me in my sin. And And I would start saying, Lord, I don't know how. I had a desire to get back to God. I wanted him because I was always convicted. Even no matter what I did, there was a sense of conviction there after I did it. So it was like, you know, God never left me. I left him, but he never left me because I always heard that small, still voice telling me to do the right thing. Hallelujah. Even though my flesh was weak. And it got to the point where I was like, Lord, if you don't save me and if you don't rescue me, I'm going to die out here. I don't want to die like this. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die, you know, and then burn in hell for eternity. Lord, I want to be with you. I've always wanted to be with you. I've always loved you. I don't know why I took this role, but I repent and I'm sorry. Lord, come and see about me. Come and get me. Come and rescue me. He caught up. I said, every night that was my cry. Every night I did the same thing. The fear of the Lord was upon me, and I was like, Lord, don't kill me. I couldn't even go to sleep until the peace of God would come over me. And so in my desperate cry, even in my sin, even in my sin, he could have took me, but he didn't. Even in my sin, he loved on me. There were times when I had the opportunity to walk back to him. I didn't know how I would take the steps, and it seemed like something would pull me back even farther. So I was like, Lord, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to come and rescue me, save me from myself. That self-condemning self, the one that would always, you know, put things that were not supposed to be in my body, do things that I know was not rewarding to my flesh, but it was killing me daily. But I didn't know how to come out of it. And some of us, we get so deeply pulled and rooted in the things that we're doing habitually to where we just can't come out, and we don't know how to come out. It's not that we don't want to be delivered. We don't know how to be delivered. But I kept crying to God. I kept asking him, how to walk back here. I kept saying, Lord, please help me. Help me. How do I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. That's all I could say. Lord, help me. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to get high anymore. I don't know how to even stop. And then one day, as I was going to the store, and I left a really big part out, a big gap out of my story, and that was, you know, after walking away with my kid's father, who was very abusive, I fought for my life every single day. It was a spirit of him that wanted to kill me. I fought every single day just to stay alive. And then I had kids that were going through this with me who now, you know, they some things are going on with them because they have emotional hurt and trauma from just being in there with me. So, but I do know, Lord, that God is a healer. Amen. He's a healer and he's a deliverer. And I can stand on the word of God concerning my kids. But I say that to say, one day I was on my way to get high. Glory to God. And I happened to stop by this store. And this woman, how do I see this woman that I know, she just looked at me and she said, can I tell you what God is telling me to tell you? And I never refused the word, especially coming from somebody that I didn't know. Because I remember I was seeking and I was looking for God to save me. And I don't know how he was going to do it, but I was looking for him to just show up. And she told me, she said, you know, you're going to be crying out in a dark and lonely place. I received the word of God, but I didn't obey what it was that she was telling me to do because my flesh was so much stronger than my spirit. And I remember 3 days later, I went to see my son who was locked up. And I picked up these two young ladies that I did not know, but they had the gas money and I had the car. Amen. So I was like, okay, we can work together. I wanted to see my son and they wanted to see their husband. So I picked them up and I really didn't know anything about them, but I did pick them up. And like 30 minutes before we got to the prison, they wanted to stop by Walmart. And after we got back in the car, I heard the voice of God say, tell them that whatever they're getting ready to do, not to do it. Well, I will tell you guys that I didn't listen to that voice either. And I heard God loud and clear. But I said, I'm not getting involved because I just want to see my son. I'm not going to get involved with that. I just want to see. I don't have anything to do with that. I remember those words. And then I remember an hour later, I was being detained because they had walked in there with drugs and contraband, phones and other things that they were trying to smuggle into the prison to their husband. And so I remember that the warden, he told me, he said, did you know anything about it? And I said, no, when I really did, because I heard the voice from God. And he says, well, you know what, today is just your unlucky day, because you're going to be arrested for bringing them across the county guidelines with the contraband. And I remember saying, Lord, please, I don't want to be arrested. I don't want to stay here, God, please. I can't be arrested. I hear what they say about jail, and I was devastated. But I can tell you this, when that gate shut, the cell door shut, and they gave me my bedding, and they locked me in, I remember saying, Lord, I'm not high. I'm not high. I'm not getting high, and I'm not high. And you know what? I didn't have a desire. From that day on, it was like as soon as he snatched me up and locked me down, slowed me down where I could hear his voice, because I heard his voice loud and clear than I had ever heard it when I was locked up. And I wanted him. And I was like, Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to take off of me or out of me, I want to shed my skin. I want to shed anything that is not of you, and I want to leave it right here. At the time, I didn't have the gift of tongues, and the Holy Spirit had told me, consumed me, but I will tell you, every day he had me to speak into somebody's life. I didn't even know these gifts were even in me. But as I sat there, and as I heard the voice of God, he started filling me up slowly. And as he would fill me up, I would pour out into others. And I remember speaking into over 20 to 30 people's lives, and I had to tell them. He was like, tell them that I said, if they cry out, and they cry loud and spare not, that I will release them. And I would go and tell these people this. And I was like, Lord, are you sure? Because I've never done this before. Don't have me speaking to nobody, and it's not the truth. But I tell you, everybody that he allowed me to speak into their life, they left. Whatever God told me to tell them, it manifested like the next day. And then they started saying, go and see the preacher lady. And people started coming and asking me questions that I didn't even know that I knew the answer to. But I will tell you, my life has never been the same. That was 7 years ago, and I thank God I have not looked back. I have not had a desire to do anything that I was doing before I got locked up. So I'm telling you, you know, your earnest cry to God, when God, he sees your heart, even though your flesh may not be doing what it is that you need to do, but God looks at the heart. My heart was to be with him. My heart was to be delivered. And so in my crying out at night, he saw it fit to bring me out and save me for such a time as this. So now I am running for the Lord. Now I am just running for the Lord, and whatever he tells me to do, I do it. Even when I don't understand it, hallelujah, I do it. So even when I was driving and I saw Sister Sophie's text, can you help me? And can you see? My first mind, little mind, is very weak, a very weak, feeble voice, because it's dying daily. I was saying, no, you don't have a word. But then I had to say, Lord, I'm just going to surrender myself to you. And you say what needs to be said. So I just thank God for my deliverance and my continuous deliverance, because there's still some things there that I need to be delivered from. But I tell you, it's not like it used to be. And I have come a long way. So, you know, just be encouraged. Even if you're not where you need to be, never stop crying out to God. Never stop asking him to help you. Never stop seeking his face. Never stop praying. Never stop reaching for the one who can heal you, the one who can deliver you, and the one who can set you free. So just know that God is an awesome God. Hallelujah. And there is nothing that he cannot do. And just know that he's faithful to do just what he said he was going to do. So that is my testimony. Just a brief you know, hitting the corners of some things that I have been through, but just letting you know that God will save you. He will save you. He has never forsaken me. Man has disappointed me, but God has never disappointed me. So I'll just say that and just pray, Lord, we just thank you today, God. We give you glory and we magnify your holy name, God. God, we thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice in it and be glad. Lord, we thank you for every ear that is listening, God. Every soul, God, that is listening and that is on this line, God, I ask that you will clear their ears to hear what you are saying, God, that you will remove all clutterness, Lord God, and Lord, that you will remove every sabotaging spirit, every fiery dart, every stumbling block, Lord God, every snare, every trap, God, that has been set up for the demise, Lord, that you will remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that the word that was spoken today, it would be planted, Lord God, on good ground, and God, that it would take root, God, and that you will see fruit and manifestations, God, of what you've heard, and you will apply it to your life, God. Lord, I ask that you will quicken them to hear your voice and not that of a stranger, hallelujah, that you will draw them in by your spirit, Lord God, that you will send someone to minister, Lord God, send someone to encourage and keep them lifted up, Lord God, and Lord, let them know that you love them, Lord God, love on them today, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you will fill every void, Lord God, that you will heal every wound to the soul, Lord God. Oh, God, that you will heal all the self-condemnation, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you right now, God. We trust you, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you will build up their most holy faith, Lord God, that you will help them to see, Lord God, who they are in you, that you will show them what their purpose is, Lord God, and you will show them, Lord God, what it is that you are calling them to do in this season. Lord, I ask that every word that has ever been spoken, God, shall come to pass over their lives, God, and I just thank you right now, God. I just ask that you will place them on the open heaven, Lord God, that you will order their steps, their footsteps, Lord God, to a church, a ministry, Lord God, that can feed them daily, Lord God, and can let them know that you are with them, Lord God, and not only that, but impart in them in ways, Lord God, that you will have them to do. Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that for I thank you, Lord God, that by divine appointment, Lord God, that we are here in this place, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that you're sharpening their discernment, Lord God, and you're sharpening their hearing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, I praise your holy name. I lift you up and I magnify you, Hadabasi. Come to your side. Thank you, Lord God, for encamping angels around them right now, Lord God. Yes. Ministering angels right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you right now, God, for being Lord God Almighty. Thank you for being the rose of Sharon. Thank you for being our present help in the time of trouble. Thank you for being a bridge over troubled water, Lord God. Thank you for coming, making a way of escape today, Lord God. Oh, God, and thank you mostly, God, for the word of God. And, Lord, we just thank you right now, God, for being the author and the finisher of our lives, and we just thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the spirit of victory, Lord God, on this line, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that every trial and tribulation, Lord God, that we've already overcame, that you've already fought the battle, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. But we just thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. So be encouraged, everybody. Thank you for listening to me. I hope I said something that you can take with you today. And I hope I said something that will make you feel, you know, a little stronger in the Lord. And just know that I love you. And just know that I'll be praying for you. And just stay connected. Stay connected to the woman of God. Keep coming on the radio, on the blog talk. Just keep coming. Try to stay in the presence of God, because I tell you, in the presence of God, things can happen. Things can happen. And so the word comes to cleanse us. It comes to redeem us. It comes to restore us back to our natural state and our original state. So just be blessed and be encouraged in that. And God loves you. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Denise. Pastor Denise, Prophetess Denise. All I will say right now is this is the year of your completion. And call me later when you pull over, and I'll tell you what that means. We want to thank everyone for listening to us, for bearing with us, Again, we will be re-listening to this, and we apologize for all the technical difficulties. Join us again this coming weekend as we celebrate 5 years of making a difference. And we have some awesome special guests. Minister Denise will be back. No, I'm not putting her on the spot. It's already scheduled. So remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bless.